Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast. Welcome to the Orchestra Teacher Podcast. This is episode number 66 on December 28th. We have a couple episodes today, the last of 2023. And I am here with a wonderful guest who had a chance to chat with a little bit at Midwest last week. And we said, hey, let's record a podcast episode. So welcome, Miss Heather Nieto from Indiana. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, hope you're enjoying your break. Are you having a great break so far?
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah. And so how was Midwest for you?
So it was a little different than normal. I had a really good time. And I always love to see people that I don't get to see very often. Mm-hmm. But I also did the conducting clinic with Larry Livingston and Carl St. Clair. And that was super fun and exciting. So
did you have to apply for that, or are you invited to do that? How does that work?
Well, a little bit of both. Larry had reached out and asked if I would sign up to do that. So okay. I did.
Cool. Nice. Well, so you signed up, and tell us what the experience was like for you.
It was really good. It's the first time that they've done it. Okay. It's, you know, a little different than the Bob Reynolds conducting thing that they do at Midwest. And it is specifically geared towards orchestra directors who are in a school setting. So there was a lot of, they had us come up and they had us conduct.
They just kind of work with you a little bit on the podium and in front of the audience?
Yeah, it's only about 15 minutes, I would say.
Okay. Do they have multiple people come up?
Yeah, there were, I think, five of us total.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Cool. So we went up and we conducted, and then they give us some real time feedback on the podium, which is really nice. Yeah. And then they gave a lot of on the side feedback as well after we were off the podium, which was kind of cool, because as they were kind of mulling over things and other conductors would get up there, they would kind of get an idea of, you know, oh, I should have said this. And then they, you know, pop over and say something. But it was just a really great experience to be able to work with, you know, such legends, right?
Yeah. And then I know over the summer you did some conducting, like training or a workshop, or what? Tell us about what you did over the summer.
So Jeffrey Meyer and Gary Lewis, this was at University of Boulder in Colorado. And it was incredible. It was first time I had done a conducting symposium like that. And I went with my friend Tom Chen, so that's always fun to not have to go it alone.
Yeah.
But it was, that was incredible. I had never experienced anything like that before. And I was very nervous going into it, not having done it before. Mm-hmm. And, wasn't sure what to expect and what, like how the other conductors, you know, would react to each other. But, Gary Lewis at the end ended up saying that was one of the like tightest knit group of people that he had worked with before. Yeah. We just all gelled very, very well. And everyone was so supportive of each other on the podium. And I think I've made some lifelong friends from that, which is great.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you go through those experiences. It's like, yeah, I'll always be friends with you.
Right.
I think it's kind of like how we met at Michigan. You're at the Michigan String Teachers Workshop. Now it's two summers ago. And, yeah, and we just had a blast, like just talking and eating together and getting to know everybody at that workshop was really cool. I met several people who I've definitely stayed in touch with. So you have those experiences, and it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were like, how do you know Charles? And I was like,
Yeah.
I feel like I've known him forever.
I know, right? Well, that's a good thing. So our audience might not know you, and they need to get to know you because you're awesome. Tell us a little bit about like where you grew up and when you went to school and your career. Kind of just tell us your path.
Sure. So I grew up in a little town called Swayze, Indiana. Yeah, it's about 45 minutes north of Indianapolis. Very small school. Very surprising that we even had an orchestra. But I graduated there in 95 and ended up at Butler University and got my bachelor's in music education. Awesome. My first job was at Belzer Middle School in Lawrence Township, and I taught middle school for 18 years. And yes. I kind of always joked with my friends that they would take me out on a stretcher because like I would never retire. I loved it. And I loved middle school. I actually, when I got that job, I thought to myself, oh, this is a great district and I'll use this, you know, kind of as a stepping stone to get into high school. Cause that's what I wanted to do. But once I was there, my heart was just really, you know, invested in junior high. I love that age group.
There's a lot of people out there that think, you know, that high school is a step up when it's really not necessarily a step up in any way. It's just a different experience. I love teaching middle school, and I consider that my specialty, honestly. But
yeah,
and I love teaching high school and make, you know, it, for sure. But middle school is like, there were so many experiences. My heart just with those kids and shaping them. And then those kids that you just have in middle school and seeing them go off and do all these amazing things. It's like, it means a lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, watching them grow into adults.
Right. Yeah. Or even come back when they're in high school and they were like the crazy kids that are just wacky and off the wall. And then they come back and they're all like soft spoken and mature. And, you know, the guys get shoulders and you're like, hey, Dr. It's like, whoa, what happened to you? You know, it's just that's the fun part of teaching middle school.
I love I guess
high school, but.
I love how junior high kids, they have no filter, and you know exactly, what they're feeling at all times. They're just so genuine. And I love that. And I think they start to get into high school and they put up a little bit of that front and, you know, they start to kind of.
I mean, I feel like sometimes I have to like scrape it out of my high school kids. Like, are you okay?
Yes.
Like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Like, no, you're not. I can see that you're not, you know? But middle school kids, they just show it right away. And it's,
So I absolutely loved that. And then this opportunity came up. My very good friend, Zach Shiniak, was the head director here. And it's funny because he actually reached out to me and I told him no, like multiple times. I was like, nope, I'm happy where I am, happy where I am. And they ended up, going ahead and doing interviews. And it just so happened that the person who interviewed ended up taking a job in Texas instead. And so he kind of reached out again. And with the pushing of a few of my friends, I finally was like, okay, fine. I'll at least like interview
and see
what this is like. And then, I accepted, you know, they offered the position and I accepted. Well, I was on the phone with my friend, Zach, who was going to be the head director. They were hiring an assistant director that they had not had before. Right. So this was a new position. And as I'm on the phone with him, he'll probably kill me for telling this story, but as I'm on the phone with him,
it's
he says,
now.
Right. Sorry. we'd like to offer you this position. And we'd like to offer you the head position. And I was like, wait, what's happening? And he's like, well, they offered me a dean position because he had been getting his admin license. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I was just sort of like, oh my gosh.
There you go. So you don't even get to like step your way into it. It's just like,
well, and that was like part of the whole thing, right? Like coming out of junior high, you know, I was so wrapped up in like junior high rep, and you know, I with two kids at home, I really was not performing a lot, so I just felt like this is the perfect opportunity to be with a very good friend who I admire, and I can kind of ease my way into all of this, right? Because I knew he wanted to do admin at some point, I didn't think it was going to be that fast. So I just kind of had to jump, you know, both feet into the fire, so to speak. But it's been wonderful. It's the best decision.
And this is how many years at your current school?
I'm in my third year.
Third year. Awesome.
Now.
Yeah. So you kind of got your way and it's going.
Yeah. It's been interesting. I've had to give myself some grace because, you know, I'm very hard on myself. It's just my personality.
I think we all are.
I think so. But I had to kind of give myself some grace and remind myself that, like, you know, we go to state quals every year and, you know, I have to remind myself I've only gone through that process twice. Right.
Yeah.
So like you think about the full year and it's like, oh yeah, I've been teaching for an entire, you know, 2 years, but then it's like, right, but I've only done this one thing two times. Right.
Yeah. So it's a different experience. And yeah, you do. I mean, and I think that goes for anybody. I mean, this is my 28th year teaching. I'm at my second year at my school and I'm still trying to figure it out, you know, at my new school. And you figure out, you know, the parents, you figure out the admin and your colleagues and then your kids and their values and their habits and their, you know, all those things that go into trying to figure out how to make it work. You know, I think I figured a lot out in a short time, but I like you said, I'm hard on myself, so I'm not just gonna like sit back and go, okay, I have it. You know, I have to. I have a lot. I mean, like I'm still working on things even during break a little bit, trying not to do too much, but still, if I don't think about it at all, and I go back to school on January 3rd, and that's when everything gets crazy. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So it's gonna happen like real fast. So okay. So now you moved to high school. You were at middle school for 17 years. You moved to high school. Tell us a little bit more about some of the leadership things you're doing for ASTA, for instance.
Yeah, that's been fantastic. So the getting into ASTA was kind of a similar situation. I think, you know, I generally don't think of myself maybe in that capacity. So I kind of took it not knowing a whole lot, but I love it. I love working for our membership and creating opportunities for their students and for them. It's been really great. And we were actually, it's generally a 2-year position. So it's 2 years president-elect, 2 years president, 2 years past president. Mm-hmm. But a few years ago, we got kind of backwards with things. Someone actually left the state and got another position, which is wonderful. But that 1 year was never quite got back on track. Mm-hmm. So with COVID and everything going through, because that was my I had the first year president elect. So I learned a lot, but that was like the first year, right?
Yeah.
And then the second year was COVID. And so it was like, everything was very different. So coming into my first year as an actual president, I was sort of like, okay.
When you took over, like such an easy time with COVID, you know?
Yeah, I was like, no problem. But so I ended up, the board discussed and we decided to, stay on for one more year. So this is actually my third and final year, as president.
And then you'll be done. But, it sounds like it's gone well and, you won't be done serving. I mean, obviously you got to do the past president role for, 2 years and, and then hopefully, I'm sure that you'll get other opportunities, you know, with the national board or national type things too. So once you
that's been kind of interesting to think about, right? You know, like in the last few months, I've been sort of like, what do I do now? Like, it's just, you know, the job is really what you make it. And I remember when I first came in and Keith Zilkowski, who is our past president now, was like, you know, I asked him, I was like, time commitment and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, it really kind of runs itself. And he's like, but you can kind of make it what you want to make it. Yeah. And of course I've made it, I've tried to make it a lot for myself, of work for myself, but I love that. Right. But now it's sort of like, as we're sort of digressing and coming out of that, I'm sort of like, okay, now what?
Yeah. Well, you know, you're going to mentor the new president and help him out. And, there's so much to do still, you know, and there's, and maybe you like take some time for yourself, you know?
What?
What's that about?
What does that look like?
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your program, your school and where it was and where you are and where you want to see it to go.
So when we first started out, we had four orchestras. We had two freshman orchestras and then there was a middle orchestra. And
two freshman orchestras. Wow. Are those smaller than the other classes or same size? Okay.
Yeah, it's a little difficult for me to speak to that totally just because that was kind of coming out of COVID, right?
Yeah,
So it's like obviously they're going to be a little small. And you could tell when they were split that first year, you could tell who the kids were that were primarily hybrid and virtual, and then the kids who were at school. So it's very, you
just
could
you
definitely
see their setup and you're like, you're virtual.
I just know you were virtual.
I mean, that's yeah, and I think everybody's dealing with that, especially the high school folks now. Because the middle school folks kind of have passed that. So, but yeah, I definitely see those deficiencies from different kids who took it seriously, kept their cameras off, and played video games while class was going. You know, you could just kind of tell there's definitely those variances.
So we had this the out of the four, so two are freshmen, and then we had a middle group, and then we had the symphony group, and we kind of felt like the middle group was so big and the levels were so varied. You know, there were kids who really didn't know what they were doing, and then there were kids that were like almost ready for symphony but not quite there yet. So in my second year we ended up splitting that. So we did well, we have one freshman group now. And then we have a Philharmonic group, which is a little bit like a remediation class. But it's also for kids who we just wanted there to be a place where, yes, we're working on all the things. Yes, we're playing all the music. But also, like, this is not going to be their thing,
Yes, we
right?
understand that this is not your priority.
Right. And I
But you're not
actually
a freshman.
really, I, right. And I actually really love that class. It's one of my favorite classes. They're
For sure.
smaller and they're very responsive to things and they're very fun. And then we have a serenata, which is our advanced string orchestra, which are kind of is kind of like the precursor to symphony. So that's
Great.
kind of where we are. But yeah, it
And how
was kind
many,
of interesting.
sorry, how many students do you have total? What's the big
It's like
number?
about 150, I think, right
Yeah,
now,
that's about where I
140.
am. 150, 160 is about where I am.
I think it'll grow,
Sure.
just because post-COVID and whatnot. But yeah, it's a comfortable place to be. It was interesting because, I hadn't done state quals before, and so that very first year
So
we ended
tell
up.
us about state quals, because we don't have that necessarily in Georgia, and not everybody has it. So how does it work for you guys? You have like a district assessment, and then you have state assessment, or tell us.
Well, so you can choose to either go to organization contest or you can go to state quals with like your high school group. And organization, you're looking at, and junior high does organization also. There's not like a state thing for junior high. So there are, let's see, three groups, four groups that you can go in. They all include sight reading, but in group four, you can choose to not sight read also. And for organization, that's kind of it, right? And there is a required list. So you have to choose X number of pieces from the required list. For state quals, you are choosing, you have two full orchestra pieces and a string orchestra piece. You are picking two pieces off of the group one list. And you go to state quals. And then if you are in the top eight, then you move on to state finals. And from
State
there, it's
top
like,
eight across the whole state.
So in that first year, I had felt like I had no idea what I was doing, and ended up taking the kids to state finals for the first time in their like the history of their school.
Well, that
So
says a lot about you. Good job.
I mean, I do try to give myself some credit. I'm not very good at that. I also think that that was a good, they were very set up for that by Zach Sheniak, who was the director before me. So I think it was a combination of that and my our associate director Charles Koontz. So
Charlie's great.
Yeah, he
Yeah,
was great.
he's awesome. Well, wonderful. And then and so where besides the growth, I mean, what are some of the like the really focused things that you've had to work on or that you feel like your students need? Is it technical? Is it musical? Is it all the above? What are some of the goals that you have?
It's a little bit all of the above. I've tried to be very intentional in picking literature and making sure that we are not over-programming and we are picking things that the kids can really be successful on. And I'm get on a little bit of a soapbox about that, but I just think that that's so important. And the kids get, of course we deal with like, the freshmen and they're like, oh, we did this,
We
in
played
seventh
this
grade.
before. My
We
favorite
played
is, we
this
played
before.
this before.
And, I was and like, I'm like, well, great. So,
but why can't you play it now?
How
did you play it before? You know, And it's always the funny thing is, you get the kids that say we played this before, or this is too easy. You know, you're playing it really out of tune, and you know,
right?
Yeah,
right. So that's been a real focus. You know, kind of really getting down to the nitty gritty of those fundamentals and doing some reteaching with them. And, you know, it's just different, like getting into high school. And that's been a learning curve for me too, because I'm so used to starting kids, right? Like I start them and I get them to a certain point, and then I'm like, go fly, little birdie. Right. And now I'm like, now I'm the one who's like got the bird, and I'm like, okay, so now where do we go? But I would say tone, you know, a lot of right-hand technique and setup is where we have been very focused. And I definitely am seeing and feeling the change in that this year, that they're starting to kind of like, oh, you know, having some of those aha moments and realizing like, oh, so that's how this should be. So yeah, that's where I would say we are.
And you're a violinist. Yes. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And so what are some of the, I guess, some of your philosophies on selecting music, or what do you look for when you're selecting music for your groups?
Well, I mean, the first thing I look for is meeting, especially like in the fall, right? Like I want to meet them where they are, and even maybe step down just a little bit, just to kind of really solidify the things that we are trying to teach them. And then I start looking at where we want them to be. So if we're, you know, really wanting to start doing some shifting or extensions, for example, in the cellos, then we start looking for some pieces that kind of start to bring that in as we're already teaching those techniques, right? So it's kind of like, okay, we've been working on these things, and now here's a piece that includes these things.
Yeah.
So
yeah it's great to include that technique in there to reinforce. And and then do you have a daily regimen or daily procedures, things that you do every day that you
say,
like, pretty solid? I mean, tuning's probably important, but besides that.
Maybe. Might be kind of important. I mean, you know, it's pretty standard. They come in, they know what they need to do. They get ready. We go through announcements. We use Google Slides in Canvas. Same. If I don't know how many use that. I love Google Slides.
Yeah, I do too.
Google fan.
And the great thing is that you can share those, you know. So I have a link on my link tree with a view only, you know, sharing link to my slides. And then I can hide the ones I don't want the kids to see, or not yet, or whatever. And they miss something, like, what did I miss? I need the QR code for this, or I need this. I need the link for this. Go to the slides, go to the link tree. And I tell them that they have to bookmark the link tree at the beginning of the year as a, you know, as an icon on their phone. And you can easily take any website and make an icon. And then you always just go to the orchestra link tree. Boom. You'll find everything that you need there, whether it's fundraising or the slides, or I have a shared resources folder with, you know, recordings in it, and blah, blah, little worksheets and different things. So. Yeah,
I love to link everything in there. I just link everything into my slides. You know, there's announcements and everything else, but it's all linked in the slides.
That's
so
right.
The kid goes nowhere else except for that slide. They've got access to everything they need.
Yeah.
So we do announcements, and then we go through our tuning procedures. We typically do some sort of warm up, depending on what it is that we're focused on that day. And then we start working on our repertoire. And we're a block schedule. Been very different than junior high. And I actually, it can get a little bit rough in terms of the rotation of the day. So we have like blue day, gray day.
Okay.
And so, because if we have like a Monday off, you know, sometimes there may be like several days before we see certain kids again. So that can be complicated, but I don't even know how to teach in a 45-minute period anymore. I'll pop over to the junior high and like work with those kids. And I'm like, wait, we just tuned.
I know that we're on a traditional schedule. We're one of three or four high schools left in our county that's traditional. And I just can't tell you how fast 50, 55 minutes goes. It's like,
it's crazy.
And so, but at the same time, I would have a hard time having that every other day thing, you know? And you really have to plan, you know, and just make sure that you count all the days and that's all you get, you know, so you can't rely on every day. But yeah, that's, and there's several teachers in our county that actually have block schedule, and they have their kids every day on the block schedule because the elective for some reason. And
wow.
So, yeah, they get 90 minutes every day. So
that's amazing.
It is amazing. I get pretty envious sometimes of that time that they have, but it is.
Yeah.
So very cool.
It's a little, It's a little rough on the freshmen, you know, like we do have to kind of, and you know, even the other groups too, but like symphony, like they can handle a little longer, but like the freshmen, we do have to kind of,
do you do any like guided practice during that time where it's like, okay, you're going to practice and I'll come around and help you. Or do you guys implement that at all? Or,
you know, I was really big on that in junior high. And that is something that I really need to get back to because I really do like that. But no, we have not been doing that. Mm-hmm. We'll usually do some brain breaks and, we do like to change up seating. So like sometimes, if they know their music fairly well, we'll just have them move wherever, like sit in whatever section with whoever you want. And then, you know, we'll kind of go through some things. And that usually livens them up because they have to really use their brain to
break
listen.
Break that monotony. Yeah. And it does help to listening. Like, oh, I was like, how many of you, when we do those on certain days, you know, like we're getting, after we have most of it down and we're just trying to like listen more, like how many of you heard something today that you didn't hear when you're playing in your regular sections? And like almost everybody raises their hands like,
yes,
I didn't know the cellos did that when I was doing that, you know? So, it's a really great way of, and it does mix up the day to day, breaks the monotony a little bit. I think it's great. So that's wonderful. That's a great strategy.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Get some listening.
Yeah. And so, when is your state conference for Indiana?
Like our IMEA.
Yeah.
So that's in January.
Okay. Okay. And do you have is there a lot of string things going on during your conference or?
There are not a ton, but there are, a decent amount.
Yeah.
And that's where we do our INASTA awards breakfast and we have our all states.
You do the all state the same time as the professional. Okay.
Yeah.
Same time as a conference. Yeah. A lot of states do that. Yep. That's great. All right. And then are you planning to go to ASTA too then?
In
March. Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. That's going to be a really fun trip and so many great sessions. I keep seeing the social media, the reels. They got a lot going on the social media now. So all the sessions coming through of like, oh, that one looks good. That one looks good. And some new presenters too. So it's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice and close for me this time too, which
that's
is
right.
You know,
not
like,
too bad.
I'm like, yay, we can drive.
Well, that helps. It saves some money and
yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
Even some time depending on, you know, sometimes the airlines, I was like, I could have driven there in the same amount of time it took me to take me to fly there.
Yes. You know,
and certain things. But that's great.
Absolutely.
Anything else that you're like, you know, you're seeing in string ed or things that you, you know, want to talk about or the things that you've been thinking about?
Just in string ed, you know, one thing I you know, kind of like moving forward for myself, you know, I worry, like a lot of us do, about, you know, the future of string education. And I see less and less people going into the profession. And I take student teachers every year and I just really try to, you know, nurture and you know, foster their passion and growth because it's so important. And I just feel like we're kind of at that point where it is dwindling a little bit. And we're seeing even some programs that are being lost in at the collegiate level. There are some universities that have, you know, ditched their
string
programs. And it's like,
that is difficult to see. And, you know, I'm not sure like the best way for us to advocate for our programs. I mean, I always talk about, it's like, well, you're going to enjoy your break. Guess what? If you're in a certain position, certain profession, you're not going to get these breaks, you know? So I said, you don't realize right now, but when you are an adult and you have all these things going on in your life, the time is one of those things that is going to be ticking away and you're not going to have a lot of for yourself, for your family or for whatever you decide to do. So I said, that's one of the great things about the teaching profession is that you get that time. Now, some of us try to stay busy during that time, but it's but you still have it. You have that flexibility, and in the summers too. And if you want to do a different profession or a side profession, you can still do that. You know, we always talk about that.
Yeah.
I said, you know, you just love music so much, and you have this dynamic about you that wants to help other people. I said, you would be perfect for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's to talk about well, a guaranteed job.
Well, and it's what you get
job.
Back, right?
Pardon?
Yeah. It's what you get back from it too.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
My husband is an engineer and he's a fantastic engineer, you know, and I know that I know, right? And I, but at the same time, I know that for him, some of that is, you know, pick him up, put him down. Like it's just a job. Right.
Yeah.
And there is not always a lot of, you know, like he does have certain projects and things that he works on that he's passionate about, but overall, he does other things that are his passion, you know, on the side.
Yeah.
And I just like, I can't even imagine doing, anything else, you know, like
yeah.
I have so much passion for what I'm doing and what I get back from it, you know, just seeing the kids succeed and have those aha moments is like just worth anything and everything that I could be doing,
yeah.
you know, and the time that I put into it. And I think that sometimes, you know, the like future music educators don't always see that. So I do try, I take a student teacher every year and I really do try to offer for, you know, prospective student teachers to come in anytime, you know, you want to come in, you want to watch a rehearsal, you want to come in and observe for the day,
yeah.
you want to work with a couple kids, you know, like just to get them out and in it so that they can kind of see how that,
yeah.
You know what this really looks like.
Yeah. I mean, being an undergraduate, sometimes you don't get to see that big picture and you're just working on your theory and you're practicing and you're doing orchestra and you have these other classes that you have to do, you know, for me, that's how I felt. I was like, oh, these other classes I just want to do.
Right.
But, and so sometimes you don't always, and you may not have that practicum experience, that gets you into it and gets you seeing that, like what the end results can really be for, you know, as an educator. And so it's sometimes hard to get those moments to like really inspire you. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So the more that we can do, teachers that are in the profession working with, those undergrads and future undergrads, the better,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah,
because it is a scary thing that, you know, we would hate for what we do to disappear.
You know? Right.
And we all know that students are motivated by great educators. And, we also, I think it's important that we have teachers who, can model and who can demonstrate and do all those things, to help motivate our kids. So,
yeah. 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 And that's one thing, like coming to the end of my time as, you know, president, for ANASTA is thinking about, you know, that's one of the last things that I kind of want to do is to try to create more opportunities for our student teachers,
mm-hmm.
And some of our prospective music educators, getting them into more classrooms and trying to work with the universities more so that they can have some of these real experiences, you know, and
yeah.
these genuine experiences and see what this is really like, because it's very different than on the page, right?
It is. It is. And, you know, I think we hear so many stories from other people about, oh, I'm not getting support here and I'm not getting this. And there are going to be scenarios where you're not getting supported or you don't maybe not getting along with your colleagues or you have parents who don't support you or, you know, facilities that are not adequate, you know. And so
yeah.
Those are some of the obstacles to get through. But, you know, we also have to remember that there are lots of great places out there that will support you. And
yeah.
as a teacher, you have options, you know, to find that place, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it can be challenging, but at the same time, the rewards are totally 100% worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Heather, this is awesome. I'm so glad that you're able to be on. And thanks for being our one of our last guests of 2023.
I'm honored.
Great. Oh, it's all ours. I will post your email, if that's cool, in the description of
yeah.
the video and in the podcast. So if any of you want to get a hold of Heather, talk to her, ask questions, or have her
yeah.
You know, come out to conduct your honor group or whatever it might
Love
be.
To.
She's there. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful New Year's and great 2024.
Yeah. Thanks you too, Charles. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. So I think that's all. For now, I have another guest coming on today, Adrian Gordon. So it might be before Heather's or after, I'm not sure. But we got some great guests and two after the new year as well, before everybody goes back to school. So Thanks again for being here, Heather, and we will see you all
next time
on the Orchestra Teacher Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. For resources and more information, visit orchestrateacher.net.